Romans chapter 5 this evening. Romans chapter 5. These four preachers were having a meeting in their little town there. One of them said, "You know, brothers," he said, "we tell our congregations all the time that they need to, you know, deal with things in their life, and they need to confess things, you know, when they've done stuff to each other, or they need to confess to the Lord." He said, "But sometimes we kind of keep things to ourselves. I think it'd be good for us if we just kind of got some things out in the open with one another." And he said, "I'll start." He said, "Once in a while," he said, I hate it, but once in a while," he said, "I go out behind the barn and smoke a big cigar." He said, "I know I shouldn't do that, but I do." He said, "And it's, I just want to get that out there." Next one said, "Well, I know I shouldn't do it, but once in a while I go down and get in a local poker game." And he said, "I shouldn't do that, but I know I got to get that out there. I got to do something about it." And another one said, "Well, you know, sometimes," he said, "I know I shouldn't do it," he said, "but," he said, "I once in a while take a drink." He said, I shouldn't do that. I got to get that out in the open." And he said, I feel much better getting it off my chest now. We can deal with these things. And that fourth preacher was sitting over there just kind of off by himself and wasn't really saying much. And they said, "Well, come on now. Nobody's perfect. It's your turn. You, come on. You've got a vice too." He said, "Yeah, I do." They said, "What is it?" And he said, "Well," he said, "I'm a terrible gossip and I can't wait to get back to town." Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Therefore," by the way, "Complete in Thee," that Sister Phyllis played for the offertory, just goes perfectly with this evening's sermon. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Lord, tonight we come to your word once more today and ask for your help. Lord, only you can break the bread of life unto us. Only you can make it convict our hearts. Only you can bring about the change that needs to happen. But we pray that you do that this evening and help us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This passage is kind of like a day or a meal where things just keep getting better and better and better. And you think about sitting down to a meal, and the appetizer that they bring out is your favorite appetizer. For some of you, that might be, is salad an appetizer? Is it considered? No, I don't think so, because it doesn't do anything to your appetite. It just makes it worse. But they might bring out a salad, and then they, if you like salad, then you're already excited. If not, you wait till the appetizer. They bring out the appetizer, and it's your favorite. You know, it might be, in my case, it might be those deep-fried mozzarella sticks. Or maybe it's one of those bloomin' onions. Boy, aren't those things good, those bloomin' onions. So, by the way, on the way in, I was asking Amy, do we have to have leftovers again tonight? And you have that, and boy, it's your favorite appetizer. And then here comes whatever the main course is that's your favorite. Maybe it's a steak, and it's your favorite cut, and it's fixed just right. And it has all the fixings and everything on it, and the sides are just mashed potatoes and gravy or baked potato, whatever it is that you like. And then you find out, after all that's eaten, then you find out that whatever your favorite dessert is, let's say it's apple pie, blueberry pie, or something like that, has just come out of the oven. Oh man, it's fresh. Then they bring that to you. You're sitting at the table and they bring that to you. And then they let you know, by the way, I just got a tub of vanilla ice cream in there. And you say, oh man, I could die a happy man right now. It was good from beginning to end. It just keeps getting better and better and better. Marriage is like that. If your marriage is based on Scripture, it just keeps getting better and better and better. Raising children, if it's based on Scripture, is like that. It keeps getting better and better and better. Walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ is definitely like that. It just gets better and better and better. As we read through this passage, every verse that goes by, it gets better and better and better. It says in the first verse, and I'm not going to break it down just yet, but I just want to point this out, in the first verse that we're justified. Well, that's wonderful. Then it says we have peace. Well, that's wonderful. Then it says we have access. That's wonderful. And then it says hard times don't get us down. They actually help us. And then it tells us that we have hope. And then it points out that not only are we saved, but we're eternally secure. There's your ice cream. There's the topping. There's the dessert. There's the hot fudge or whatever it is. I'm eternally secure. And so tonight, I want to look at this passage, and we're going to look at who we are in Jesus Christ, but more than anything, what we're going to look at is, would be why we are eternally secure in the Lord, in our salvation. The song says, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. This wonderful hymn proclaims the blessed truth that we all must come to know, and that is our salvation and security are completely based upon Jesus Christ and who He is. As the song is that we heard Sister Phyllis play, complete in Thee. Complete in Thee. No, how many of you know that song or know the words to that song? I think Brother Dwayne has done it as a special here before, but it might not be one that you're real familiar with. Complete in Thee, no work of mine can take, dear Lord, the place of Thine. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought, Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and now I stand complete in Thee. We have everything that we need to be saved, to live for Christ, to spend eternity with Him. We are complete. We are whole. We are not waiting to be saved. We're waiting to be saved physically from this world of sin. As one preacher put it, when we got saved, we were saved from... He sort of talks about three different types of salvation, and I don't think that biblically he's wrong. We just have to be careful how we word it. But that we are first saved from the penalty of sin. Your soul has been saved. You won't spend eternity in hell. And then sanctification is God saving us from the practice of sin while we're here. And then one day we're going to be saved from the very presence of sin. That's glorification when He takes us home. And so that we're waiting on. But see, we have that blessed hope that that's going to happen because the first has already happened. I've already been, if you're saved, you've already been saved from the penalty. You will not face eternal damnation in hell. This passage that we have before us here has much to say about our standing in Jesus Christ. It has much to say about how God sees us after we are saved. It has much to say about the eternal security of the believer. And see, we're going to go into here pretty soon, chapters 6 through 8 deal with the effects of salvation. Okay, and it deals with living victoriously over sin and all of that. And before we even get there, we have to have this settled. Many years I struggled and were just spinning my wheels and couldn't grow in the Lord and couldn't move forward and couldn't really learn anything about Him or serve Him in any type of way because I didn't know these truths. I didn't understand who I was in Christ now that I was saved. I knew that I was saved, but I didn't understand what all that meant, what all I possessed. And I can remember that time in my life, and not that any of us are perfect, but I can remember that time in my life whenever I started to learn these truths and started to realize that it's about who I am in Him and how complete I am in Him, and then what that is supposed to do and how that is supposed to change me. And I can look back, and though I am still far from the mark, I can look back and I can say that was the turning point when things started happening. That was the turning point when I got on the right track and finally started to grow and finally started to progress a little bit. And though most days I still feel like a sapling, I feel like I've just sprung up through the dirt. At least we can look back and say, but I'm no longer just a seed laying dormant in the earth. We are growing, we are progressing, we are moving forward. But to do that, we have to understand who we are in Jesus Christ. If you don't understand who you are in Jesus Christ, it will hinder so many things in your life. Let's look at the first verse here tonight. And the first point I want to make is this: through Christ we are justified. Through Christ we are justified. It has been said that the word justified can be explained in this way, and I like it: just as if I'd never sinned. I like that. That's not exactly Noah Webster, but I like it just the same. Justified, just as if I'd never sinned. When God the Father looks at us, what He sees is someone who, in His eyes, was never a sinner to begin with, though we were. We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who has never sinned, imputed unto us, and that's what He sees, the righteousness of His Son. So it is as though we never failed. We never sinned. You say, oh, but I have, but not in God's eyes. In God's eyes, it's as though you never had. You can't wrap your mind around that, can you? I can't, because we don't forget. We don't forget who we were. But the Father looks and sees the blood of His Son, sees that we've been washed, sees that we have been justified, and that we're now one of His. Definition of justify is, one of the definitions is this: in theology, it means to pardon and clear from guilt. To absolve or acquit from guilt and, listen to this, and merited punishment. Let me read that again. To pardon and clear from guilt, to absolve or acquit from guilt and merited punishment. To justify means to remove punishment that you had earned. Merited punishment. Punishment was coming your way. And to accept as righteous on account of the merits of the Savior, or by the application of Christ's atonement to the offender. To justify is to say guilty, not guilty. This record of not guilty is applied to the guilty, and now I see two not guilties. To take that punishment that we had coming to us and say, it's been removed. It's the call from the warden just before, or the governor just before the switch is flipped. You're in the chair. If anybody still uses the chair anymore, you're in the chair. You're on the gallows. You're before the firing squad. You're on the table. You're about to be injected. And the phone rings and the governor says, no, let him go. And not let him go back to his cell. Give him his things and let him out. He's going free. We're wiping it out as though it never happened. Start to get an idea of what Christ has done for us. It says, therefore, being justified by faith. How could such a complex and wonderful transaction take place simply by us having faith? I mean, I don't have to do anything for it. I don't have to work for it. Hey, just because salvation might not cost you anything doesn't mean that it didn't cost our Savior. You see, you don't have to do any work, but that's because He already did the work. Just because you might not have to shed any blood doesn't mean He didn't shed any blood. We are justified. It says, therefore, look, word at a time. Therefore, being. That means that any time a believer picks up the Word of God and turns to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it tells us that if you are saved, you are presently justified. Being in a constant state of. It doesn't say, therefore, as long as you haven't done these things, therefore, as long as you have done these things, if you have confessed everything and you've given and you've attended and you've read and you've studied and you haven't done this and you haven't done all of these things over here. No, it says, therefore being. And Paul makes it clear that's who the believer is and remains to be. From the moment that you get saved on, every second of your life you could say, I am justified right now. I didn't stop being justified for an hour yesterday. When you got saved, you were justified, and every second from here to the gates of heaven, you can say, I am presently justified. My justification has not stopped. Paul says, therefore, be. We are justified. If you're saved, you are justified. Get that through your heads. We are justified. Now it's done with. It is over. Therefore, being justified by faith. Faith in what? The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that God became man. That He lived on this earth. That He was sinless. That He died in our place. That He is the propitiation, the substitute, the payment for our sin. And that not only did He die, but that He rose from the grave. Victorious over the grave. Victorious over sin, victorious over death, victorious over hell, the devil, and all of his minions. That He conquered it for us. And all I'm doing is trusting in Him. We were that man, that woman, or that child who was drowning and couldn't do anything about it. And we simply, when the lifeguard threw out the lifeline, faith was us taking hold of it, trusting that lifeguard had the strength to pull us in and to keep us That's simply what faith is. Oh, we don't see. We don't see everything that's going on behind the scenes, as we say. We didn't see Christ, but we take it by faith that He did live and that He went to the cross for us. And we trust wholly in what He did for us. Therefore, being justified by faith. So through Christ, we're justified. Have you sinned? Have I sinned? Absolutely. But the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Father looks at you as though that sin was never there. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Isn't that good? You know, people worry about what we're going to give an account of whenever we get to heaven. The lost, their sins will be brought up. If you're saved, stop worrying about everybody else hearing everything you've ever done wrong. Because for one, what we give an account of, I believe it's 1 Corinthians, might be 2nd, but I believe it's 1st. What we give an account of is our service. Did we serve Him? Did we work for Him? Did we labor for Him? Or did we just waste the time that He gave us? We didn't witness, we didn't tell anybody, we didn't serve, we didn't help, we just kind of sat. We warmed some pews. We're going to answer for that. If we did more than warm a pew, if we worked for Him and we served Him and we lived for Him and we told people how to be saved and we labored, there'll be some crowns. But not only does the Scripture explain that to us, that that's what believers give an account of. Another reason that we know that it's not our sin that we've given an account of is, well, it's over with, it's done, it's been washed away. And the Father said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So He's going to have to remember them to bring them up. He's going to have to remember them. Now the lost, He'll have volumes and volumes and volumes. Revelation talks about the books, talks about the book of life, and then it talks about other books and says, we went over this not too long ago, they were judged out of the books. Well, if God has a book on believers and their sins, it's as blank as the backside of this paper. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Why? That's been taken care of. You have a great advocate, don't you? You have an attorney, you have a lawyer that says, I took care of that already. See right here? See this right here? You see these feet? I already took care of that. Blood's already been shed. It's already been paid. You think you get aggravated when you get a bill in the mail for something you've already paid. And you call them up and you're digging out receipts and you're digging out correspondence proving that you've paid it. We've come to, in the last few years, Amy and I have, especially Amy, we have come to dearly love health insurance companies. There's nothing we like better than to prove to them that it's already been paid. We've had so many credits because we've just paid the right amount every month on time. But some, we get these bills back and say, oh, you've got this credit, or oh no, now this is owed. And it's, I can't think of anything I'd rather do than to. And I barely have to deal with them. She's the one that does it most of the time. But I come home and she's just smiling. And I know she's had a wonderful day talking to the health insurance people on the phone. And it just brightens everything. You dig and you say, no, look here, I paid it. I came in on this date and this was. You won't have to stand before God and say, oh, but wait, it won't even be a question. And if there was, you don't have to dig out receipts. You don't have to dig out anything. The scars in the body of Jesus Christ say, hey,
It's paid. It's paid. But it won't even be brought up. The Father's not going to look at us and say, now what about these things? Oh, I trusted your son, remember? Oh, that's right. No, there won't even be a what about these things. Because he said that he will remember them no more. First verse tells us that not only are we justified, through Christ we're justified, but through Christ we have peace. Through Christ we have peace. What is the method of justification? It's faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. What is the result of justification? Peace with God. Peace with God. Why do we need this peace? Go to Psalm, the seventh Psalm, Psalm 7. Why do we need this peace? Boy, the world is full of people walking around that have no idea of the wrath that is currently abiding upon them. You know, you might see, I can't think of a great example now, but maybe you're at a sporting event, or maybe, you know, the family has gotten together, and you can see that somebody is just about to get hurt. They're about to fall off of something. They don't see it. They don't realize it. The trapeze artist is swinging and you see the frayed rope and he doesn't. He has no idea. You see the lion in the bushes about to pounce and it's like on those animal shows. And that, you know, that gazelle or something is down there getting a drink of water and you can see the grass moving. You see the lion sneaking up. You know what's about to happen. He's down there just getting a drink. And you say, uh-oh, look out. He doesn't see it. The world is like that. The world goes about its business every day and does what it does, and many of them don't even think about the wrath of God that abides upon them. They don't even think about, just like the person that races past you on the highway. The world is like that. So many of them racing headlong into hell and don't even think about it. Reminded of the man that was standing by the side of the road and had a sign that said, "The end is near. The end is near." And this guy went flying down the road and saw that sign, and he yelled out and he said, "You religious zealot, get out of here with your sign, you fanatic." The guy just watched him go on by. And he went right over the edge of the cliff because the bridge was out. And right down into the pit. The end is near. And how many people every day, boy, they're just headed as fast as they can. And never given any thought that the end is near. The end is near. Why do I need peace with God? Because before you get saved, you don't have it. You don't have it. And this is what gets me about people who aren't saved, who talk about, oh, I pray and God answers my prayers and does all this stuff. No, that's just the overall general goodness of God that all men can partake of. Okay, because he doesn't hear the prayers of sinners until it's the prayer of salvation. Now, that's scriptural. Lost people say, oh, I've always believed in God. Well, no, you haven't. Nobody's always believed in God. The Bible says we haven't. Oh, I've always believed in God. Oh, I pray. And, you know, they live just as wicked as they can. Oh, I pray and the Lord's so good to me. What you don't realize, friend, is that the Lord is good to you in that he's given you another day to repent and get saved. But instead, what they think is, they think the good things that have happened, that's God's favor upon them, and it isn't. That's just the fact that every good gift comes from him. And that even lost people sometimes enjoy the general goodness of God. Living on this beautiful earth that he made for us and breathing his air, drinking his water, eating his food, spending his money. And the Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. Bad things happen to everybody too. But they have this idea
They don't realize where they're headed, but then they have this idea, if they're lost, that, oh yeah, boy, God, He listens to me and He hears me. And come on, when something happens, you hear about some tragedy on the news, lost people get out there and say, our thoughts and prayers are with them. Our thoughts and prayers are with them. You would think everybody in this country was a believer, as many people as get out and say that. But they have this idea that, you know, everybody's just good with God, and they don't realize, boy, I'm headed right for the pit. Okay? Let me show you another reason why we know that until a man gets saved, God's not answering those prayers. Why do we need, because we're not at peace with Him. Why do we need peace with Him? Look at Psalm 7 and verse 11. Look at verse 10. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. We were wicked before we got saved. We were of that group. If God is angry with you, you don't have peace with Him. You need to be at peace with Him. You need someone to help you be at peace with Him. Look back at, what says it? 5? 5, 5. Psalm 5, 5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. We need peace with God. If you're lost, God is angry with you. God has a perfect type of hatred towards you. So I thought He was love. He is. That's why He went to the cross. But He also has perfect hatred too. He hates sin. Come on, I know we've been told our whole life that, you know, God loves that. Let's just read it for what it says. It says right here, thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Let's get our theology directly from Scripture and not from what we think or what people have said. You are not at peace with God if you're not saved. That's why Christ had to come and make peace. If you were at peace with God, then Christ died in vain. Before you get saved, there's a problem between you and God. You have offended Him. You are a sinner. He is angry. His wrath is upon you. Go to John 3. John 3. Pardon me. And verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's why we need peace with God, if we're not saved. Because He's angry with the wicked every day, He hates the workers of iniquity, and His wrath is upon us. But He's also perfect love. So He made a way for us to be saved because He also loves His creation. He loves that was created in His image. You know why we have a hard time understanding that? Two reasons. One, we don't know how to love and hate the same thing at the same time. And two, the reason we don't know how to do that is because our love and our hate is tainted. But His is perfect. His is pure. Listen, don't drive yourself crazy trying to figure out how He does it, because you're not Him. Just believe the Scripture when it tells us that He does it. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is why we need peace with God. This is why we are not at peace with Him. But, chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, so because we are saved, if you are saved, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
He's that mediator. He's patched it all up. He's patched it all up. Here's God, righteous, pure, and holy. Here we are. We're not. We have offended Him. We had no right to go before Him. We had no right to enter into His presence. But Christ was the mediator that said, I have a right to go before Him. I'll go in there and fix things for you. You read in the book of Esther and how the Jews were about to be persecuted and they were about to be killed. And Esther went before the king on their behalf. And she was able to work things out. By the way, two of my favorite books in Scripture are those little Old Testament books. Not my favorite. Ecclesiastes is my favorite book, but two of my favorite books, Ruth and Esther. I want to tell you what, we're going to have to go through Esther soon. We've been through Ruth. We're going to have to go through Esther soon. What a fantastic, fantastic. You know, even if it wasn't Scripture, we'd love it. Even if it was just something that somebody wrote. I mean, the things that happened in the book of Esther. But here, she was able to go before the king and work things out so that the Jews would be spared. Hey, Christ can go before the Father. He has a right. We don't. He does. And He goes before the Father on our behalf and works it all out for us. If we would just trust Him. If we would just put our faith in Him. And because of that, look at verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Through Christ we are justified. Through Christ we have peace. And through Christ, now that we have that peace, we have access. Now the door is open and we can walk right in. On His account, we have access to grace. There's no other way for us to be reconciled to God than by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. In humbleness, we remind ourselves, I don't deserve to go before God. I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to get to talk directly to Almighty Jehovah God. But we also remind ourselves, because of Jesus Christ, I can. Because of Jesus Christ. Hey, I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy, but He is worthy. And because of Him, because I am in Him, I am complete in Him, I can. All because of Jesus Christ. Go to Hebrews chapter 10 with me, please. Hebrews chapter 10. While you're turning there, I'll just kind of give us a little bit of background. Hebrews chapter 10 is talking about we read about the law and how it could not save, and we read about the priests who have to every day give sacrifices. But I want to go to, let's see, go to verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, meaning Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by, now look at it right there, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Go back. By the way, verse 17 is, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. But go back to, let's see, verse do I want? Verse 4.
For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Those animal sacrifices can't take away our sin because it wasn't the animals that sinned, it was man. Go back to chapter 9 and verse 22. Talking about the blood of Jesus Christ and what it can do. Verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Blood has to be shed, but it took the perfect blood of Jesus Christ. If you're saved, it's because of what Jesus has done, not what you have done. If you aren't saved, you can be because of what Jesus has done and not because of what you have done. I want you to look over at Ephesians chapter 4. Through Christ we are justified. Through Christ we have peace. Through Christ we have access into this grace. We have this grace because of Him. And now look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Sealed unto the day of redemption. I'm going to, rather than finish this up, I'm going to stop there and expound. We're just about to get into more of the eternal security part. I think I'm going to wait until Sunday morning and expound upon that, and maybe go into depth on that just a little bit more on Sunday morning. But what have we learned here tonight? Well, first, through Christ we are justified because He is perfect and He died for our sin. If we are saved, then that righteousness, just like Abraham, is imputed. It's placed upon our account, and the Father looks at us and sees us as though we'd never done anything wrong. You know, it's kind of like that. It's not exactly like, but it's kind of like the parent and the spoiled child. You know, everybody's known that person that had that spoiled little brat that they think never did anything wrong. The difference is, we have the blood of Jesus Christ and His righteousness imputed unto us. And when the Father looks at us, He can't see anything that we've done wrong. Oh, we have, but Christ hasn't. And that's whose righteousness we have. Through Christ we have peace. The wrath no longer abides upon us. His wrath no longer lays upon us. Does he have to chasten us at times? Is he not always pleased with us? Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's not His wrath. And through Christ we have access. Access to what? Well, access into this grace. We can be saved because of who Jesus is. If you're saved tonight, it's because of who Jesus is. The only thing you did was trust and put your faith in Him. And we have access. We can come right to the Father. Right to the Father and get that help that we need. We have a right because of Jesus Christ. Not because of ourselves, but because of Him. So let's stop there. Let's stop there for this evening and Sunday morning, because I just have a feeling that if I get into the second part of this on eternal security being maybe my favorite, one of my favorite doctrines to preach on, that we might be here another half an hour. It's okay. We gave this whole day to Him anyhow. But I think this would be a good place to stop, and then we'll pick up the second half of it on Sunday morning, and then maybe what I'll be able to do is go into detail a little bit more on Sunday morning on this doctrine of eternal security. But let's keep this in mind. It's because of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that that's why we're eternally secure too. That's why we can't be lost, is because of who He is. We're saved because of who He is, and we are kept because of who He is. Let's just pray and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word and what it has taught us today, and thank You that we don't have to work for salvation, because we could never do anything good enough to earn it. But Lord, help us not only to put our faith in You whenever we get saved, but to continue to trust You and to rest in You and to know that we are complete in You. And Lord, that we have this justification, we have peace, and we have access simply because of who Your Son is and what He has done, and we are trusting in Him. Lord, help us to be Your servants this week, and use us for Your glory, and take us home safely, and keep us safe through the week, and bring us back here again safely, Lord, if You don't take us home before then. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.